The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And welcome to our worship service, taped for Sunday, June the 28th. I have added a couple of things to this service that I have felt like we have missed. One is a call to worship. God calls us by name into the presence of holiness as God's holy people. We answer this call by the grace of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of God's own Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Come, let us worship God. And let us pray. O God, you direct our lives by your grace, and your words of justice and mercy reshape the world. Mold us into a people who welcome your word and serve one another. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And let us have a time to confess our sins, repent, and trust God to forgive us of our sins. O God, on lonely Mount Moriah, you put your servant Abraham to the test. We confess that we have failed much lesser tests of our faith. We have allowed sin to run our lives, to shape how we act toward others, and to destroy our relationship with you. In your great mercy, O Lord, forgive us. Change even our bodies from implements of destruction to instruments of your peace. For the sake of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. God, whose name is I Am, provides for our weakness. Jesus Christ, the great I Am in the body, gave himself for our salvation. All who are united in Christ in his death are united with Christ in his resurrection. I declare to you, my friends, in Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our Old Testament reading is from the 22nd chapter of Genesis, beginning with the first verse and reading through the 14th verse. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If you wish to stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, I invite you to do so now. I shall read to you the Gospel acclamation. Alleluia! You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Alleluia. Amen. The Holy Gospel is written in the 10th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, beginning with the 40th verse and continuing through the 42nd verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. The Gospel of the Lord. All praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Let us pray, my friends. Terrifying word, life-giving word, and sanctifying word, come to us as ones who crave water in the desert. Grant that we may hear and respond to you, yes, in fear and trembling, and also in rejoicing, through the Lamb that was slaughtered, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit is worshipped and glorified by all your saints, now and forever. Amen and amen. The title of this sermon is, Do You Trust God? A pastor was making a wooden trellis to support a climbing vine. As he was pounding away, he noticed that a little boy was watching him. The youngster didn't say a word, so the preacher kept on working, thinking the boy would leave. But he didn't. Pleased at the thought that his work was being admired, the pastor finally said, "Well, son, trying to pick up some pointers on gardening?" "No," he replied. "I'm just waiting to hear what a preacher says when he hits his thumb with a hammer." Now, that's a tricky position to be in, isn't it? Would you or I pass that test? I certainly would hope so. Sometimes we don't even know when we're being tested. But that's not the case in today's Genesis Bible passage. Listen to these important words. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. Six simple words, but they mean so much. As part of our journey through Genesis, we have already spent some time with Abraham and his wife Sarah. At age 75, this wealthy and comfortable man left his cosmopolitan town, his extended family, all his security, in order to follow God to a distant land. He was set apart from his people and his family in order to create a new nation, a nation that would be specially chosen by God. God promised to bless Abraham for his obedience, and Abraham was obedient in many things. But one promise God made seemed too good to be true, that Abraham and Sarah would have a child of their own. In fact, as we already know, when Sarah heard this promise, she laughed. Wouldn't you? That is why, when, at 90 years of age, this promise is fulfilled, God instructs Sarah to name her long-awaited baby Isaac, which means he laughs. Imagine Sarah and Abraham's joy at the birth of their young son. They had waited so many years and endured so much disappointment. Children were a blessing from God, the one blessing that Abraham and Sarah had not received before this time. The citizens of Abraham's town probably ran in the other direction when they saw him coming. "Oh, no, it's old Abraham again. Look busy, quick, quick. I'm getting out of here before he makes us look at more baby pictures. Oh, if I hear the name Isaac one more time, I am going to lose my mind." Now, Abraham had already given his own life to the Lord, like the faithful man he was. Abraham circumcised his infant son and consecrated him to the Lord as well. Abraham and Sarah knew that God was with them. They were a fortunate couple who, after years of heartache, were living their last years in happiness. God had promised them a son, and in their old age, he was born. They watched Isaac as he grew, knowing that he was a special child. After years of turmoil and trouble, Abraham and Sarah could now enjoy their retirement years, basking in the glow of a promise kept. Abraham surely thought his life was complete. He was ready to kick back, relax, and begin reaping all those blessings God had promised him. And then comes this verse. Some time later, God tested Abraham. One day, God called to Abraham. "Here I am," Abraham replied. God told him, "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Now, there's no wiggle room here, folks. No chance for misunderstandings. It is not like God is ignorant of Abraham's love for his son. Sometimes when we sense that God is calling us to do something difficult, we are tempted to protest. "God just doesn't know what he's asking. That can't possibly be God's will." Doesn't God know how much that would hurt? Well, Abraham loved his son, and what God had asked him to do was unthinkable. It was unbelievable. No sane parent would willingly harm his or her child. It was an outrageous request. Maybe Abraham should have his hearing checked. Maybe he didn't hear everything God told him. Isaac was a child of promise. Isaac was Abraham's link to the future. What about that promise that he would father a great nation? The whole request seemed so inconceivable, so outrageous, so unfair. How could he tell Sarah that he would offer their only son as a sacrifice? Every now and then, I tell you that when I die at my memorial service, I hope somebody will get up and say some particular thing. My thought today is that someone will stand up and say, "My, she was a good Presbyterian pulpiteer. In each sermon, she always had 3 points. I think it must be written in the Presbyterian Directory of Worship someplace. I'm not sure about that. So, point one today. Abraham was willing, even if he did not understand. Exodus 20:20 tells us that God tests us to confirm our faith or prove our commitment. Or as someone once wrote, Satan tempts us to bring out the worst in us. God tests us to bring out the best in us. God tested Abraham. And how does Abraham respond? Our Genesis reading says, early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. Early the next morning, we could understand if he had slept in a few extra hours. Any man in his position might hesitate for a while, but not Abraham. No matter how much it hurt, he would be obedient to God. Notice that Abraham was willing to act in faith even when he did not understand. The bottom line was that Abraham was a man of faith. Abraham asked no questions. He didn't try to reason or argue with God. He didn't try to strike a deal. He did not even ask for an explanation or a reason or an extension. Abraham said nothing. Abraham acted and obeyed. Period. In such a situation, you would think that at least the thought would enter Abraham's mind to run in the opposite direction. He had taken matters into his own hands before. Why not do so now, when his son's life was at stake? Why not run away from God now that his link to future generations was in question? That is what you or I would have done, wouldn't we? After all, without Isaac, how could God keep his promise to make of Abraham a great nation? Now, I'm going to make a value judgment here, and I apologize if you think I misspeak. I do believe that in all probability, God is not quite as real to you or to me as he was to Abraham. For Abraham, deliberate disobedience was unthinkable, regardless of how absurd the request may have seemed. Without question nor reservation, he set out for the mountains with his son Isaac and two servants. They would travel for 3 days until they arrived at the special mountain to which God would guide them. Abraham took his faith seriously. It was not something he took lightly. Shortly after the September 11th attacks, Captain Gordon Sparks of the Salvation Army led a mission team that provided aid to the workers at Ground Zero in New York in the days that followed the attack. He recalls mounds of paper littering the site around the bombed-out buildings. Out of curiosity, one afternoon he picked up a piece of paper. It was obviously a to-do list compiled by one of the executives who had been in the World Trade Center towers. Captain Sparks wrote, 14 hours earlier, this to-do list plotted the day for a successful executive in the financial sector. Now it was a simple memorial for plans of a career, perhaps of a life. Have you ever been in a situation where your world was turned upside down? Your marriage fell apart. You lost your job. Someone you loved died. Your security was shattered in some way. And deep in your heart, you cried out, "It's not fair. I had plans. I had plans to grow old with my spouse. I had plans to retire with that company and collect my pension. I had plans to be healthy and vital in my old age. Now what's happened to my life? It's all fallen apart. This wasn't part of the plan. Sheltering in place and now wondering and evaluating when we will be able to come back together at Ascension to worship and praise God together in person. This certainly was not our plan for these months of the year 2020. If there's anything we can learn from Abraham's story, it is that obedience means laying our plans on the altar and sacrificing them to God's greater plan, plan with a capital P. God has a plan for us for these times. You may or may not have some idea of what God's greater plan for you is now. I haven't figured it out for myself yet. I have some ideas, but I am sure God will help me see more clearly at the right time. For our God is not a capricious God. God is not toying with our lives. God is not looking to break us or bend us. God is looking to mold us into His perfect image. Fortunately, I believe that if God tests us, it is to bring out the best in us. Point two, I do not believe it was ever God's intent for Abraham to sacrifice his son. We need to realize that. Every once in a while we hear about a tortured soul who ends not only his or her own life, but also the life of innocent family members. It would be a tragic misunderstanding if anyone took this story to mean that God would ever tell anyone to take the life of a child. You don't worship the God I worship if you could ever read that into this story. God never intended that Abraham should harm this child in any way. I suspect that deep in his heart, Abraham knew that. Perhaps that is why he told his two servants, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there to worship, and we will come back to you." In silence, father and son walked the final steps to the mountain. As they approached their destination, Isaac asked his father, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham replied, "God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." There was no other conversation as they slowly made their way up the mountain. A troubled father, a trusting son, making their way into the dim unknown. That's what faith is all about, isn't it? It's been probably 20 years or more ago when I put into my file of illustrations a story written by a woman about her younger brother. I'll call him Bill because I didn't record his name, nor hers. He was in his early 40s when he died. Before his death, he wrote his sister a letter telling her about his faith. In it, he described how he always prepared for prayer by going through what he called a relaxation phase. After a few minutes, Bill wrote, "I would travel in my mind to a place in the North Carolina mountains where I used to go on camping trips. There I have built an open structure, a gazebo, where I go to talk with Jesus. Normally, I go in and call for Jesus, and he comes. We visit, and usually I give him my prayers of thanksgiving and intercessions." Late that last summer, Bill got the news that his cancer was back. He was, in his own words, an emotional wreck. At that time, Bill prayed. In his mind, he was again in the mountains, waiting for Jesus to come to the door of the gazebo. At that moment, a completely unthought-of event happened that shook me to tears, he wrote to his sister. He saw himself as a 5-year-old boy. I became like a camera recording the event, was the way he described the experience. In the person of this boy, he ran up to Jesus and hugged him. He pictured Jesus picking him up and carrying him to a seat and holding him in his arms. He hugged me, Bill wrote. I didn't say anything. He knew I was frightened. There were no answers, and the future seemed so dim. As he hugged me, he said, "Trust me, trust me." Jesus held me for a long time that night, he wrote, until he knew I understood what he meant. He told his sister he had found strength from this experience. We must trust Jesus as a child trusts. Totally, he wrote. Then Bill concluded his letter with these words. Because of this, whatever turns out to be the ultimate result of this disease, it's not the burden it was before. Jesus made no promise, nor did he reveal the future, but he had provided the format for living out of the rest of my life with just two words. Trust me. Abraham didn't understand why God commanded him to sacrifice his son, but Abraham was a man of faith who had also heard God's call, trust me. No, my friends, at third, we can place our trust in God. When they came to the place that God had shown them, Abraham built an altar there and he laid the wood in order. Then he bound Isaac and put him on the altar. Abraham, with tears in his eyes, stood over his son with a hot coal in one hand, ready to start a fire, and a knife in the other. At that moment, when Abraham was ready to kill his son, an angel of the Lord called out to him, "Abraham, Abraham!" For the third time, Abraham answered, "Here I am." The angel told him, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." What a relief. God had tested Abraham, and Abraham passed the test with flying colors. At that moment of great relief, Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in the bush. The ram was sacrificed instead of Isaac. Father and son worshiped God on the mountain. Abraham named the place, "The Lord will provide," because he now knew the truth. God did provide and would continue to provide. Abraham placed his trust in God in a way he never had before. Abraham knew he could depend on God no matter what happened. That's the kind of faith you and I need. With such a faith, we can live our lives in confidence, whatever the future may bring. Now, I'm at that point in life where I may not remember what I had for breakfast this morning, but I can remember some things from decades ago. I can remember sitting in Sunday school the day I heard this story for the first time. The teacher talked about faithfulness, but all I could think of was horror. Boy, was I glad I had a father who loved me enough that he would never burn me on an altar. What a wicked man was Abraham! And I felt that way, I think, for years. Then as I was older, I began to realize that there were things I had not considered as I focused on my obsession. I realized that I had begun to believe that a God who could demand this of a man could not possibly be a good God. But then, how can I reconcile that thought with the good God who had answered my prayers and saved my little parakeet when she got sick? And Abraham hadn't questioned God about why he did what he did. Abraham had just done what God told him to do and never seemed to question God's goodness. Then a few years later, when I was in high school, we were all given something a missionary wrote, which meant so much to me that I stuck it in my Bible, and I pulled it out this week, having read it many times over the years, and it said, "Only in acceptance lies peace, not in resignation nor in busyness. Resignation is a surrender to fate. Acceptance is surrender to God. Resignation lies down quietly in an empty universe. Acceptance rises up to meet the God who fills that universe with purpose and destiny. Resignation says, 'It's all over for me.' Acceptance asks, 'Now that I'm here, what's next, Lord?' Resignation says, 'What a waste.' Acceptance asks, 'In what redemptive way will you use this mess, Lord?' Have you had your world turned upside down? Do you know the pain of letting go of the life you had planned? Take the step of faith and offer your own life as a sacrifice on the altar. Let God redeem your mess. Only when we let go of ourselves and our own ego can we come alive in Christ, to become alive to God's perfect plan. Like Abraham, we must be willing to trust God, even when it hurts. God did not take Isaac's life that day because he had a greater plan in mind. He will not hurt us in order to redeem us either. No, the Lord instead has taken on our hurts himself. The 11th chapter of Romans reminds us, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" That kind of good and gracious God can be trusted through any test, through any circumstance, throughout all of life. Thanks be to God. Amen. If you wish to stand for the blessing and the dismissal, please do so now. May Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, be with you. May the Spirit empower you to serve in Christ's name. May God, who raised Christ from the dead, keep you forevermore. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. And our dismissal. Go, my friends, in peace. Christ is with you. Thanks be to God. Alleluia and amen. Thanks be to God.